if you're constantly feeding yourself that vitriol and the negativity and the fear, then that pathway gets locked on. It becomes, it's like the railroad switch gets rusted and gets stuck on.
What a great message to curate throughout social media when you see somebody writing something negative, to just post, hey, your negativity switch might be stuck.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. You're stuck on. So unstuck yourself instead of unfuck yourself. Unstuck yourself.
Right? Wouldn't it be cool? We should make a link that and all negativity flows to that link.
It's just send it here.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast, hosted by Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race, and brought to you by Wild Health.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Get fully personalized healthcare based on your DNA, biometrics, and blood work with Wild Health, the official healthcare provider of Spartan. Go to wildhealth.com and use the code SPARTAN10 to save 10%.
Activate the best, most energized, productive, and connected version of yourself with Heroic, the official wellness app of Spartan. Learn more and get started with your free Spartan starter pack at heroic.us/Spartan.
Introducing Action Ion-Charged Alkaline Water. Action has unlocked water's full potential so that you can unlock your own. Visit drinkaction.com to find out more. Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at duralane.com.
Joe DeSena here, CEO and founder of Spartan and the Spartan Up podcast, where we rip you off your couch and throw you into the fire of life. I have got one of my best friends, overall badass, the guy I would call if I was stuck in Kazakhstan. I don't know why I would go there, but if I was, this is the guy I would call. Maybe I'd call Colonel Nye and you on a conference call.
Let's do that first.
And Command Sergeant Major Frank Grippy. And Scott Mann. I'd have to call a few of you together because I don't want to piss anybody off. I want to make sure they answer the phone. But anyway, where are you? What are you doing? And how are we going to get everybody to be a little more resilient in life?
Dude, Joe, it's great to see you again. Always. Man, it's always great to connect. It's hard to pin you down these days, by the way. Seems like you're in about 20 places at once.
You got to be on the move. I remember that scene in Heat with Robert De Niro and Val Kilmer, right? He says you got to be able to move on a dime.
That's right.
You got to be able to move on a dime.
You got to get off the X because the next missile is coming in at you. I'm actually down in San Diego still, and I've been kind of like the last year and a half planted here because since we last spoke, I started my PhD in global leadership up at Pepperdine. And, you know, being Navy SEAL, Mark Divine and all, I thought this thing was going to be a cakewalk, and boy, did I get a slap in the face. This is making my 36,393 burpees in 24 hours look easy.
Oh my goodness.
But it's good. And my, you know, doing everything else, just cranking along. I just thought it was time to kick myself in the ass in another way. You know, one of the things that we teach is challenge can come in many forms, and physical challenge, a lot of people can get addicted to that. And that actually can be a rut. You need to challenge yourself emotionally. You need to challenge yourself intellectually. You need to challenge yourself spiritually. So, you know, that's in line with our philosophy of integrated five mountain training. So this was my way to challenge myself intellectually because I felt like I was in a rut.
Yeah, I'm in a rut. I'm definitely in a rut. Coming out of COVID, I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's just me, but I do see a little more negativity in social media. So I was actually thinking recently, gee, I wonder if folks, you know, careful what you wish for, right? Like you got to stay at home and there were certainly some benefits to staying at home. But there's also some negatives that are beneath the surface that you probably don't realize as a human being. And maybe that oozes out in some negativity, you know?
Well, I think so. Well, first of all, if you stay at home, as nice as that sounds, you're more likely to be glued to social media or glued to the TV, which is just nothing but vitriol, right? Pouring into your system. And a lot of us, most of us these days, especially since COVID, are permanently locked into a state of hyperarousal. I mean, literally the research is in that there is like there's two pathways. One is the hyperarousal, one or the arousal, and one's the de-arousal. And there are neuropeptides that are like the railroad track switches, right? And so if you're constantly feeding yourself that vitriol and the negativity and the fear, then that pathway gets locked on. It becomes, it's like the railroad switch gets rusted and gets stuck on. And then you can't, you know, the normal actions that would de-arouse you aren't working anymore. So you've got to take extreme action in the other direction to like WD-40 that, you know, that switch back open again so that you can go into the, you know, the arousal control state, you know, the parasympathetic state. And I think this is what leads to more permanent states of negativity, of anxiety, ultimately depression. And people just don't get it. They don't understand why they're there. And this is one of the reasons. It's probably one of the primary reasons because it affects everything. So how do you go the other way? You know, one way is to go out and kick your ass with a Spartan race or a SEAL fit event. But that shouldn't be the only way because there's a lot of arousal in that as well. And a lot of excitement and a lot of cortisol and adrenaline. I think what people need is almost the opposite. They need to just stop everything and go on like a silent retreat or go sit under a tree in the woods for a week, you know, or whatever version of that works for them. And that's the only way to kind of WD-40 that pathway back open again.
What a great message. What a great message to curate throughout social media when you see somebody writing something negative, whether it's warranted or not. It's almost never warranted, but to just post, hey, your negativity switch might be stuck.
Yeah, I love it. Right? You're stuck on.
Unstuck yourself. Send an email here or go to this link and it'll tell you how to flip that switch. Right? Wouldn't it be cool? We should make a link that and all negativity flows to that link.
It's just send it here.
Yeah,
I love it.
Right?
You know, I had a podcast recently with Colin O'Brady, and he's promoting this thing called the 12-hour walk, where you just get out and walk for 12 hours with your cell phone off, no contact. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. It's just reset your nervous system, something like that.
You know, I heard a great saying. Someone 100 years ago said, somebody we know, I can't think of the name, said, there's nothing in life that you can't walk off. And when you and I were on the farm in Vermont, and I was there for quite some time with my family, 14 years. And what I found was the phones don't work in the woods. And so I got a chance to not only walk off, but detach.
Yeah.
From whatever was going on, I typically carry something heavy in those hills, and
perfectly natural, of course. Yeah,
but that probably even further helps remove anything going on. You know, like there's some science there, I'm sure. Yeah. It's typically cold. That helps. Huge advantage. Now I'm in Orlando. Back to your earlier question, I don't think you and I spoke, or you knew that I moved.
I did.
We kept the farm in Vermont, but I moved to Orlando. Took the family here, found an amazing school. I'm the official physical trainer and physical and mental trainer for Mickey and Minnie Mouse. They I train them every morning. I made that one up yesterday.
That's awesome.
But I came down here because I was having a tough time flipping people's switches and getting them back to the office after COVID.
Right.
And so I had to find a new place to kind of, you know, re-energize, find some young folks. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but
Why do you need them in the office? I'm just curious. I mean, this is an interesting conversation to, you know, because I agree face-to-face is really helpful, but we're virtual right now and we're making it work, but we're a much smaller team. And I think that's probably why it works.
Yeah. I think there's an argument to be made in both directions. There's a number one, I may just be old fashioned, right? That let me preface it by saying that. And I just, my old fashioned switch may be stuck. Maybe I'm the guy when they switched from horse and carriage to automobiles would say, we can't get rid of the horses. You know, maybe I'd be that guy, but just bear
I
with
think
me.
That's true.
Right. And then two is, coming out of COVID for us, is monumental. Trying to get 45 countries stood back up.
Yeah.
This might be just my perception and not reality. I'm able to walk over to somebody's desk. I'm able to check on things, solve things in 2 seconds. Very hard for us again, 45 countries trying to stand this thing back up, trying to find an individual somewhere who might be sitting in Maine or South Carolina or whatever. They're doing their laundry at that moment. They're going to the dentist. Like, it's just the complexity. Like, if we were a 10 or 12 person team or 15, we're a 600 person team. So again, could be all a figment of my imagination. And then the other one is, we want to build a theme park down here where people actually come to us. Right. And not a hokey, like a very on brand, kick your ass theme park that requires faith. Like, the customer's not doing that remotely. They're coming to, and so my team should be here.
Yeah.
So anyway, but by the way, even when we were at our peak in office pre-pandemic, there were probably only 170 out of 500 that were in office. The rest are distributed in the field and all over. But those folks go to their office at an event and they're putting on, you know what I mean? And so I also hate to have one set of rules for white, for lack of a better term, you know, white collar. Like, I don't like that. I was getting on a flight recently and the flight got canceled and they said, "We're sorry, the pilot and the stewardesses decided to work from home today." So, that doesn't really work in some parts
of the funny, actually.
World, you know, like.
Well, that's pretty interesting. You know, I do think that they're different. It really depends upon the nature of the work you do, but I hadn't considered that. That fairness issue, right? You know, so if the nature of your work is you have to be in the office and someone else is that they don't, gosh, you know, what does that mean? Where's the team there, right? So what is the, you know, how do you create that team cohesiveness? So that, you know, hey, being a CEO is not easy. If it was, everyone would do it.
Yeah, and that's another thing is, right, like that idea of being in the arena and everybody can give you advice, but unless they're in the arena and they fought, like it's hard to get, right?
They don't know. Yeah.
My good friend owns Saks Fifth Avenue. He's got quite a number more of employees than you and I have. And he said to me, in fairness, Joe, all, let's say I'm making up a number, 40,000 employees are in our stores and they never stopped coming to work during the whole pandemic unless our store was closed. And so for my office people, which is a fraction of that, to say they can't make it into the office is like really frustrating because 90% of our workforce has to go in every day. And you don't want to torture people. Like, I get it. Traffic sucks and this. But here's a question for you. And I've been finding this with myself. We had the hurricane down here in Florida. So for 4 days, I was stuck back at home. And what I found about myself was I woke up a little bit later, shame on me. I got moving a little slow. Like I didn't have the impetus to like start my 4:59 workout, cold shower, get in the car, make it to the office, get things going. Like, it just changed everything.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've never worked from home, Joe, even as a virtual company. You know, we signed a lease on our facility a week before the lockdowns. Back in 2020, I think it was, March of 2020. And, you know, a landlord a week later was like, I said, "Hey, you know, who knew this was coming? Can I get out of this lease?" You know, I signed it a week ago. He's like, "Nope." So for 3 years, I've had a 5,000 square foot warehouse as my man cave, you know? So I threw my mat room down there and I put my gym up and my podcast studio. And I go there every morning, you know, at 6 o'clock and do my train for a few hours. And then I work there, lonely as hell, but you know, every once in a while, my wife would come visit me, my son and stuff, but I had to get out of the house. I just love, you know, keeping the battle rhythm going regardless of what's going on in your world. And had I not had that space, I would have created a space, you know, in my home or around me where I would have gone to do the work, right? I think it's very hard. You need, you know, this is part of the, part of how to keep your psychology really squared away. You have, you know, of course, the internal structures and the external structures, and you got to set them both up for success. So the internal structures are obviously the habits and the rituals, and they become non-negotiable. This is, you know, you teach the same shit. When you discipline something, you're a disciple to something bigger than yourself, and that becomes a non-negotiable. So one thing that you discipline yourself that becomes more important than most, if not everything else, is how you enter the world, how you decide to create your world when you open your eyes in the morning. So I have this philosophy that I wake up and the world wakes up to me. I don't wake up to the world. And so as soon as I open my eyes, I get to create the world that I intend to engage in during that day. So the way that I decide to engage in is as a warrior who's disciplined, who's going to stick with his ritual, regardless if it's raining or thundering or freaking COVID or nuclear war threats, because it's my world and I get to choose how it's going to look for me that day. So even in sickness or injury, I get up and train, right? There's very, very few limitations unless I was paralyzed. And in that case, if I lost a limb or was paralyzed or like flat on my back with something that was really, really knocked me out, then I find a way to train in my mind, right? And that's the first thing I do every day. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but a lot of people will let the discipline of the rituals slide when some sort of external event changes, like COVID or working from home. And I think that's a big mistake, because once you have those internal structures and they're set, then you set up the external structures to support the internal. You don't do it the other way around. If everyone's looking for the external structure, like, oh, I've got my gym and my CrossFit team and they're going to hold me accountable, that works to some degree. But it doesn't work if you let the internal structure and the rituals go. Then you're always playing catch up and you're kind of leading with guilt, right? Or you're doing it for other people. You should always be doing these things, especially training your body and mind for yourself first.
I was not classically trained in this. I didn't have podcasts like you didn't have them when we were kids. And yeah, as you're talking, I'm saying to myself, how did I learn this?
Achilles tendon injuries are really common, but did you know there's a lot you can do to prevent them? Hi, I'm Dr. Julie Fouché from Wild Health. And I myself suffered from an Achilles tendon rupture several years ago, later to find out there was a lot more I could have done to prevent this injury. So the first step is recognizing the first sign of any Achilles tendon pain. This could be pain in your Achilles tendon, it could be in your calf, or in your bottom of your foot. When you notice this, you probably want to take a step back from training and rest that area. Then you want to reintroduce training through weighted eccentric exercises. So this means grabbing a backpack, holding a dumbbell or a kettlebell, and using both feet to raise up onto your toes. Then slowly lower down using only one foot. Repeat this 10 to 12 reps on each side for about 3 sets. Then you might want to work with a trainer or a physical therapist to identify any biomechanical issues that could be leading to your Achilles tendon pain and make sure those are addressed. There are also some antibiotics that can increase your risk of Achilles tendon rupture. So if you need to be on an antibiotic for any reason, try to avoid the fluoroquinolone class of antibiotics. And finally, there are some increased genetic risk for Achilles tendon rupture. So if you fall in this category, you want to pay extra attention at the first sign of any Achilles tendon pain. So hopefully this helps you avoid having an Achilles tendon rupture like I had.
Wild Health, the official healthcare provider of Spartan.
How did I acquire what you just explained? And I think at a very young age, I had a business. And very early on in that business, I found that if I was sloppy the night before, let's say we came in with our equipment, we used to clean swimming pools, and we came in with our equipment and we were exhausted because we always were. And instead of cleaning it and getting organized for the next morning, we just said, we'll deal with it in the morning. And if we woke up a little late that morning and then we had to deal with it, we were behind. Then we pissed off customers. Then they didn't pay. Then I lost. Like, the pain was so great based on those dominoes falling that I quickly had to back all the way up and learn that if I didn't stick to a very structured life, it was miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. The ball starts rolling downhill and picking up steam, and that, it's a negativity steam. It's like things start to get out of control pretty quickly. And a lot of people live their lives like that. They're just playing whack-a-mole from, you know, one disaster or crisis to another. And you can get in control. I mean, when you control what's going on the inside and you curate the quality of your thinking and the momentum of your actions, then you get to control how you respond to what's happening on the outside. You know, the crises come in, suddenly they look a lot smaller, a lot easier to handle, and you're prepared for them. Of course, I learned this really big time in the SEALs, but I had to develop that discipline well before I went in the Navy. You know, and I was fortunate. I went in the Navy at 25, as you know. Most guys go in at 18 or 19 enlisted, or at least 21 when they're officers. When I was in Manhattan, I was working for Arthur Andersen, a company that blew up from their ethical lapses. And I had already at 20 decided that I would never, ever be like one of those pasty, puffy corporate suits. And yet here I was in a suit job. And so I disciplined myself to get up like at 5 o'clock every morning. I'd go for a 6 mile run, and I came back and I had already learned how to meditate. And so I was meditating. I had a Zen master who was my teacher, and I would come back and meditate for 20 minutes. And then I would go to work. And then at lunchtime, when everyone went to the, you know, have their high carb lunch and a beer or a martini, I would go to the New York Athletic Club and bang out what we now know as a high intensity workout. In 1986, I just called it a sweat fest. You know, I just carve out whatever equipment I could, and I'd protect it like a bear, you know, and I just bang out as much as sweat as I could in half an hour, 40 minutes, and get back to my desk, and I'd be sweating for like an hour afterwards. And then in the evening, I had 2.5 hours before they let me off at 5, and I had to be down at NYU Stern School of Business, which is at the World Trade Center, the old World Trade Center. And so all of my peers who were involved in this program at NYU Stern School of Business would go home, change, have dinner, prep a little homework. And I went to the dojo, right, to get a class in. So I had 3 training blocks, and that, you know, working, getting my CPA, getting my MBA at night, that was my rhythm, and it served me so well.
No,
and I've never, you know, as part of that was an internal, I don't think, you know, you learned it through feedback mechanisms in the workforce that said, you know, hey, if you do this, this is the result, or if you don't do that, that's the result. Mine came from the discipline of endurance sports that I got into in high school and then in college, and having some very good coaches. And this is where I think certain athletics, especially endurance training, the hard, arduous stuff that you teach and you love, like, you know, long distance running. For me, it was rowing and competitive swimming, you know, like the mind numbing, hardcore, you're in this pretty much alone, and you got to manage your mind. You got to manage your breath. Those are incredible for developing that internal discipline we're talking about.
No, no doubt about it. I love the conversation. The other place I got it from, as I listen to you and think about it, was feedback from, I had 700 customers I cleaned swimming pools for, or I did construction work for at their house. And that lasted over a decade. And so I got to watch how those families performed
right
over that 10, 12, 14 years. And guys that cheated on their wives that cheated on their husbands. I saw things like, oh my God, that guy went out with his friends and was drinking last night and then got home late. And so he woke up late, and then the kids couldn't get dressed and go to sleep. Like, I would see all this, like looking in a goldfish tank.
Right.
And so I was able to, like, kind of like Bruce Lee says, you know, take the good, discard the bad.
Right.
And now my wife would tell you, I don't know about your story on this topic, but my wife would tell you, like, look, Joe's discipline and Joe's way of life is really fun for about 3 minutes. but it's not, you know what I mean? It's really hard to live with, right? Like waking the kids up early every morning, making them do their Mandarin, like sticking to that discipline. It's not a lot of fun. And so I don't know how you reconcile that one, but I'm not willing to bend on that, because I think the consequences are pretty great to start. And, you know, if you just start to become undisciplined, and I don't know, maybe I'm too extreme.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, there might be an extremeness to it because you're a teacher just like I'm a teacher, and teachers tend to have to be on the extreme end to develop the qualities and trust and certain skills and capabilities in order to hold the energy of being a teacher, right? Because, you know, both of you and I have had teachers who went halfway and then stopped because they said, well, now I'm the teacher. And then very quickly, all that momentum went in the other direction. And suddenly, you know, they aren't carrying the energy. They lack the credibility. They start slipping. And then they're not the teacher anymore, right? Because people move on. So as a teacher, you have to be extremely disciplined, and you have to always be growing. And that's the point of mastery, is there is no there. Anyone who's listening think that they've made it, then you're mistaken, right? You're always pushing envelope. You're always growing. And every plateau you come to where you think you're there, you realize it's a false peak and there's another way to go. Now, the other thing, like I love my teammate Jocko's statement that discipline equals freedoms. I absolutely agree with that, is when you're undisciplined, then things start to break down, right? So an undisciplined body or physical training program leads to breakdowns in the body, which leads to less freedom, freedom of movement, right? Freedom of choice, freedom to feel good all the time. Breakdown in discipline in your financial, you know, life will lead to less freedom because, right, you'll have less cash flow, et cetera, et cetera. You won't have the financial freedom. So it's really important to recognize that discipline isn't about fun or happiness. It's about freedom. And when you have freedom, then you have joy, right? And so it's a mistake to chase fun and happiness, because joy is so much greater than just temporary happiness. And furthermore, discipline, even if it's temporary, is far greater a reward than regret, right? And so if you have a morning where you say, you know, I'm just too tired, I drank too much, and so I'm just going to blow it off today, and then you've just earned a regret chit, right? And you throw that in your little regret bucket over there. Whereas if you had said, screw it, I'm getting up and I'm going to do my workout and I'm going to remain disciplined, then you get the reward of discipline. And that temporary reward of discipline is far greater, because that regret shit lasts a lifetime. You don't get to turn that back in.
I've never met a person, at least not to date, I don't know if you have, that has said, I wish I had more regrets. I wish I didn't work as hard.
I'd love to meet someone who says that actually and mean it. I don't think there isn't. That's hilarious.
Tell me about burpees for vets. What are we doing here?
Well, first, thanks for supporting it. Spartan's going to support it this year along with a bunch of others. F45, Hilton. So let me give you the backdrop, and because I know you've done this, you've done it with us before, but we want to kind of take it much bigger this year. So back in 18, I had this harebrained idea that I was, my tribe at Seal Fit and I were going to do 22 million burpees and raise $250,000. You remember that?
I do. Yeah.
We didn't hit it in a year. It was a pretty BHAG goal, but it took us about 16 months and we hit 22 million burpees. And that number was because at the time, I don't know if it's still valid, but at the time, 22 vets a day were committing suicide on average. So we have a Courage Foundation as our veteran organization to support those who are suffering from post-traumatic stress, especially suicidal. And we want to really help get the message out and provide an opportunity to help vets who are suffering. We raised $250,000. We broke two world records that year. And then the next year we said, there's no way in hell we're going to do that again. like I don't want to, you know, I did 130,000 burpees that year. So I'm not sure I can hold that energy. So we came up with a different structure, and that structure, you know, was sort of effective. We tried to turn it into like a social media thing. At any rate, so here we are in 2022, and we're coming at again with a number of partners and a number of veteran service organizations that are participating that will benefit. And we're working on a live SEALFIT event on Veterans Day that'll be streamed either through ESPN or another organization. But the main meat and potatoes of it, Joe, is we want people to put together a team, and that team will just go register at burpeesforvets.org, And we're shooting for a minimum of just, you know, 500 burpees for that team. It's super simple, right? We want them to do a lot more, but the goal is to raise $500 minimum. And if they do, then they essentially will get, I believe this is the way it works. They're going to get a Spartan ticket, and they'll get a voucher to one of our Seal Fit crucibles.
Or a Tough Mudder. We could give them Tough Mudder too.
Or a Tough Mudder. Yeah. So those details are all on burpeesforvets.org. So the point is, get yourself a team. This is, you know, this is a good thing. It's going to be a nationwide or an actual international effort. It's running now through Veterans Day. So it's live. You're going to see a lot of it on social media, but it's really on you to put together a team, figure out when you're going to do the burpees, crank out the burpees, submit your results and submit the, you know, the funds, which will be a tax deductible donation. And there are also some organizations that are matching. So we've got to find out more information there online. I'm not running the program, so I don't have like all the granular details, but the website has the details. This year, our goal is to raise over $1 million. There's a number of organizations that will be the recipients. We wanted to be a platform for good and not just the only organization that is, you know, trying to do this. So we're partnered with For Purpose and another number of other veteran service organizations. So I believe you can also determine where your funds will go to support. So the other organizations are doing incredible work for vets as well.
I love it. And send me any organizations out there that that need a little fire starter. Right. We're always happy to support any veteran organizations.
Excellent.
I'm definitely, I got the bug, and I wish I would have been with you when you joined. Even I would have joined late as well. I wasn't guided there, and I have tremendous regret. That's in my regret bucket, not being in the military.
Well, that's one you can let go because you're doing so much great work for vets, and we super appreciate it. You know, I know you know this, but my feeling is the at least in this country, the way that vets have been treated is really not good. And it's not, and I'm not talking just about the VA. The VA system has done a lot of damage. But a lot of people treat veterans and people with post-traumatic stress as if they're broken or victims. And I can tell you as a vet, there's nothing more farther from the truth. And also there's nothing worse that you could do to a vet is pity him or her and treat them like a victim. These individuals are freaking heroes. And the sacrifices they've made and the lessons they've learned and the skills that they have would blow your freaking mind. And you know that because you've got some serious vets who work for your organization. They just can do shit that most people have no clue. And we're in a really shitty time with our culture, as you know, right? And I think veterans can lead us through that. And that's certainly one of my missions. Like my mission, I want to train 100 million people in the next 25 years to be strong, courageous, open-hearted. Veterans, you know, learn that, right? They lead, you know, true veterans, true warriors, the ones that that you and I are talking about, lead with an open hand and open heart, not with the fist and the weapon. Now, there are some jerks who want to play whack-a-mole. I'm not talking about those people, right? There's more of those in the civilian world than there are in the military, right? When you train, especially in the special ops, like I was, you know, you learn new ways to love that are just not accessible to you in the civilian world. And that changes you. And you see things and you deal with loss in ways that change you, right? And so you become like just a really much more expansive leader. Capable of seeing things from multiple perspectives, capable, like I said, of leading with the open hand and open heart. And it's completely different from what most people perceive of as a military leader, which they're being fed by movies and you know, the public discourse.
I agree with you 1,000%. And I could attest to it with all the great military folks I've met, like yourself. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for being a veteran. You're awesome.
Hoo-yah. You too, Joe. Yeah.
And one last fun story I'll tell you is years and years and years ago, probably the time you were on the farm or even earlier, like 2005-ish, there was a young man who moved to Connecticut from Siberia with his mom.
Whoa.
And he came out and wanted to do my crazy events we put on the farm. But he was young. Anyway, over the years, I stayed in touch with him. You know, it's always inspiring to be around a young person that actually listens and it wants to be guided and then follows through. Got to know him over the years, did all our toughest events. He said his dream was to be Special Forces someday. And he stayed in touch with me. So over 17 years, he stayed in touch. Every year, it's like, hey, I just want you to know I'm getting closer to getting in the military. Hey, I just want you to know I met a girl. Hey, I got married. Hey, I have a child. 4 weeks ago, I was at Fort Bragg. And one of the generals brought me in to sit down and have a lunch with some folks and talk to these Green Beret. Guess who was in there?
No shit.
This kid was in there.
He was there, huh?
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable. So when you talk about like the development of a human being, like I watched it happen from a teenager that came from Siberia. Like, yeah.
That's fun a great story. I appreciate you, Joe.
You're the man.
Yeah. Who ya?
Activate the best, most energized, productive, and connected version of yourself with Heroic, the official wellness app of Spartan. Learn more and get started with your free Spartan Starter Pack at heroic.us/Spartan.
Introducing Action Ion-Charged Alkaline Water. Action has unlocked water's full potential so that you can unlock your own. Visit drinkaction.com to find out more.
Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at duralane.com.
Maximize energy, optimize nutrition, and improve performance with Wild Health. Personalized precision healthcare built for Spartans. You'll get a personalized health plan based on your DNA and biometrics and the support of a team of health experts. Sign up at wildhealth.com with the code SPARTAN10 to save 10%.